National Rock Review.
This is Mick with National Rock Review. I've got Todd Vittori of Queendrike on the phone with me today. Just fresh off a tour with the Scorpions. Todd, how are you doing today?
Pretty good. How you doing?
Excellent, excellent. So you guys just wrapped up a phenomenal tour with the Scorpions. How was that for you guys?
It was awesome. You know, we got to play in arenas and cool amphitheaters and stuff, and playing to nice large numbers of people every night, and outside of a festival setting, which is always really cool to do, especially this day and age and in the States. So yeah, we had an awesome time. The guys in the band were just really humble and gracious, and their crew was wonderful to work with, so it was a great experience.
So, did you take away anything from that tour with them, you know, experience-wise, that they might have taught you or given you advice along the way?
No, I mean, you know, Queendrike's been around for 30-plus years, you know, it's not like a new band that is learning the ropes, you know, but it was just a pretty stress-free tour. I mean, everyone was just, like I say, very, very kind to us. All the guys in the band were very nice, and it was smooth every night that we played with them. We did about a 40 to 45 minute set, you know, it was a great time.
Well, you guys, Conditioned Human has been out for a little while now. It's been smashing records for this day and age in terms of, as well as a metal album can do in this day and age. You know, 20,000K in sales in the U.S. alone. Has that exceeded your expectations for this album?
You know, we were hoping to, our goal was to match or exceed what we did on the last record, the self-titled record, and we did that. And so, yeah, I mean, for this day and age, to have 14,000 sales in your first week when you're not on the radio 24/7, and you know, the genre that we're in, you know, the pop and country and kind of hip hop genres are usually, you know, the ones that are breaking the bigger numbers. But for rock, hard rock, and metal, I think it's very respectable, and we couldn't be happier, really. And we just want to say thank you to all the fans and supporters of the band for actually, you know, taking the time to purchase the album and talk about it. And the reviews have been going really well, so we're really pleased.
And you had a lot more input on this album creative-wise. You were able to assist in a lot of the writing and the creative direction on it. What songs in particular really stand out to you the most that you put a lot more effort into than, say, some of the other ones?
Well, I was as integral on this record as I was the last one. It's just this one, we had a lot more material to kind of choose from when it came to making decisions on which songs would make the album. You know, I like each song for different reasons. You know, Conditioned Human was a song that Michael had, and he and I wrote that song together. And then in pre-production, we decided to take the ending of a song that Parker and I had, and we took the ending of that song kind of and put it on the end of this song to give it this really great kind of epic climax ending. You know, but everyone worked, you know, really hard on this record, and some songs just come together really quickly. Point and you just put the pen down or the guitar down, or you switch to another song because maybe you're not really sure where to take it. So some songs, you know, did take longer to get the final shape of it. I'm trying to think of, like, Espíritu Muerto, which is a bonus track. That kind of took a little more reworking. We changed the beats per minute on that many times, tunings, different times. We sang the chorus a little different. lyrics and melodies for the verses, and I went back and rewrote lyrics for the verses and all of the melody and phrasings for that. So that took, you know, longer. But a lot of the other songs, you know, just came together relatively smoothly.
Now, through and through, this album definitely comes across as a classic Queensryche album, going back to the days, lyrically and music-wise, compared to, say, a Rage for Order or a pre-Mindcrime. what was your input, or as far as the direction leading back to that classic Queensryche sound? Did you guys all kind of get together and say, hey, we need to go back to our roots again and produce another classic Queensryche album?
You know, collectively, there certainly was a mindful sentiment of wanting to focus on those key elements that are Queensryche, which is a lot of the dual harmony things, you know, kind of the vocal acrobatics that I like to sing, and just, you know, really honing in a lot on Scott's drumming and having Eddie walk in with him and create, you know, Eddie writing his bass lines that work with Scott's kick pattern. And, you know, there was just everything on the album was very microscope, and there's nothing on the record that you would hear that wasn't done for a reason. You know, as far as me personally, you know, I was obviously saying, pushing for more edge on this record, a little more drive, you know, and so I thought the last record was awesome, but I wanted this record to be heavier in some capacity, but still not straying from having the diversity that Queensryche has always been free to have, going from a song like, you know, Della Brown to, you know, Queen of the Reich. Well, we have, you know, Hellfire to the song Just Us. So we still were able to maintain that flexibility and freedom. But overall, I wanted the record to, you know, to be heavier. And everyone, you know, we didn't force the songwriting to be a certain way. It's just, that's just the way that the writing happened. And then we would also credit that writing translating so well sonically. We would give that praise to Chris Zeus Harris for engineering and producing the record. He was very instrumental in pre-production and all throughout the recording process of everyone's respective instrument and getting the best delivery and performance that we could for the record. And speaking of the production on the record, I think it just sounds fat and warm and dynamic, and it's not you know, you hear about the loudness wars and all that kind of stuff. I mean, when I put this record, the CD in my car and crank it, the volume is loud, but it doesn't sound, quote, loud or ear fatiguing, or, you know, people have been throwing the brick walled terminology out there for a while on things that sound just a little too harsh. So this record definitely has a very, it's very likable to listen to. There's no frequencies that are, you know, ear fatiguing or anything like that. So we're really happy with the final outcome of how it all came together, and this is exactly what we want, if it didn't exceed it, you know. We were aiming for, and it probably exceeded in ways as well.
In all the reviews that are pouring in, everybody seems to agree that this is, you know, Queensryche at their core, you know, roots, what Queensryche is all about. So has there been any negative feedback that you've experienced from fans that might have been disappointed with this album?
I haven't read every review that's out there. There's a bunch of them. I can't say think of anything negative. Maybe the only thing would be maybe they wanted a couple more faster up-tempo songs. You know, that's always tricky when you're dealing with the song order and arrangement of how does the record flow. But I don't see it as problematic. I think that everyone's been happy, and it's an album that I think you appreciate more with each listen. Some of my favorite records are records that I didn't love right out of the gate, and then the more I listen to it, those are my favorite albums of all times. You know, a lot of those records that took more investigating, and I had to dig a little deeper. The other thing is, I hear people talk about the aftermath, and a little story on that song. Well, it's that song that's called The Aftermath used to be in the middle of the song All There Was, and in the demo where I say, you know, the clock on the wall, that whole line, that was all in the middle, and then when I build up to the scream, it came in to the kind of arpeggiated or sequenced sound right before the guitar solo, and it kind of took away from the momentum. It kind of went down a little too early, and it was slowing down too early. So what we decided to do was take that middle piece of that song and pull it out and put it at the end of the song, as you hear how all there was fades or ends, and then kind of blends into this track called The Aftermath. Well, The Aftermath, we just thought, hey, it really was the ending to the song All There Was. And we just thought, you know, it's kind of a unique little piece of music there. What if we index it and call it its own name? So it wasn't written as a segue. It was in the middle of a song. We just put it at the end and decided to, okay, when it reaches that point in the song, the track number goes to another number, and then we title it something else. Kind of like Waiting for 22 or Empty Room goes into Eyes of a Stranger. If you didn't call Empty Room Empty Room, and it was just one song called Eyes of a Stranger, that's the same thing with All There Was in the Aftermath, only the aftermath comes at the end of the song. So it's more of an ending of All There Was versus a precursor to the next track, which is the title track, Condition Human. So I've read some people say, you know, I don't really understand the aftermath, but the story of the aftermath, which I'm not going to divulge what it's about, is the resolve and conclusion in a very twisted way. It is part of the story of the song All There Was. So it is the very ending conclusion to that song. So that's the only thing I heard where there's a little confusion on. I don't really get that track, but if they understood the context in which that was how it came to be, I think it would make a little bit more sense. But again, overall, I think all of the feedback has been super positive, and people, you know, there's something for everybody on this record, from Hellfire to Just Us to Bulletproof to the epic long, you know, almost 8-minute song Condition Human. It has the diversity, but still has the continuity without sounding like a million different things put on one record.
Right. So on the score with the Scorpions, obviously you guys had a short set time, around 40, 45 minutes, if that. How did you guys decide upon the set list and the decision to only include one song from the new album when obviously fans are clamoring for new stuff?
That was easy. Look, it's the Scorpions concert. It's first and foremost their concert, their fan base. Of course, Queensrÿche fans also came out. But understanding the premise that it is their show and we are the support act, what is going to be the most beneficial, enjoyable, and impacting set list we can do in a very short 45 minutes. It's very easy. We're going to play the most well-known radio hits of the band, and then people that, you know, maybe forgot about Queensryche because they don't listen to the band list, they go, oh, I remember that song. I remember Jet Set Woman. I remember Empire. You know, I remember Silent Lucidity, stuff like that. Then it kind of their ears perk, and it gets their curiosity. Then I say we have a new record. Here's a brand new Queensryche song. In order to say, look, we are a current band. We're not a nostalgia act. We are relevant and current, writing cool new music. We have a new record out. So it was, you know, mainly to play songs that the majority of the Scorpions fan base would recognize, while also putting in one song of the new record to show them again that we're doing something new, and then throwing in, you know, for the hardcore Queensryche fans that are there, we're going to go back and do Queen of the Reich. So they're getting a classic old, you know, metal song from the band. They're getting a nice handful of the more commercial songs, and then, you know, we threw in Eyes of a Stranger, and then one new track, and that's pretty much the best you can do in 40 to 45 minutes. There's not a lot of wiggle room, and so that was the methodology behind the set list, and that's the reasoning, and a lot of people really seemed to understand that. Wow, I got to hear Queen of the Reich, and I got to hear the radio songs, and I got to hear a new song, and so that was the biggest bang for the buck that we could offer for that limited time slot.
That's a great answer, and I think a lot of people will understand and appreciate that response. Thanks. So, looking forward to 2016, I'm expecting that you guys are going to have a headlining tour coming up, and can we expect to hear a lot more songs from the new album, along with stuff going forward, say from Empire and Promised Land?
We will start doing our own headline shows for a tour, a ground tour, in January. I've actually gotten all of the dates 2 days ago via email. So that'll be starting in January, and then and yes, we will be starting to play more songs from the new album, Condition Human, in conjunction with probably playing, you know, ideally it would be nice to play three or four songs from the new record, maybe two songs from the last record, so that's, you know, say six songs of current stuff, and then the remaining songs, gosh, to go span a 35-year career, you know, and we may even do more stuff off of Condition Human as time goes. The hard part for us is you're touring, and hold on a second, somebody's at my door. Is you're touring, and you know, you're always on the road, and you know, we didn't even, on the Scorpions tour, we didn't have a sound check. It was just a line check. We're working off the same consoles every night, and that was kind of it. We don't have time to rehearse as a band when you're playing every day and you're in a different city or a state or whatever. So it's been really hard to just have the time for us to play and jam as a band and really get these new songs down to perform them well live. We've got four or five shows left for the year, and of course when you're on the road constantly, the only downtime that you get when you're home, it's like, okay, I'm finally home. I mean, I've only been home like three weeks since February. Almost the entire year I've been gone. And again, when I'm home for 5 days, it's like, well, do you want to fly to Seattle and rehearse for 5 days or go home because you haven't been home in 2 months? I want to go home, you know, and have some, I've got a house to tend to and see my family and whatnot. So easier. I mean, really, the band, I think, needs to can rehearse. And I mean, I can pick up a mic right now and sing all the songs off the new record because, you know, I wrote most of those lyrics and melodies, and they're just burned into my brain. And singing them so much in the studio, it's I don't even have to think about it. Versus rehearsing, you know, back catalog stuff where it's like, okay, I know the song really well, but I forgot. Is it this? Do I, you know, is it this verse that I sing, or is it the, you know, the last verse that I'm singing? Because I haven't listened to the old Queensrÿche stuff in actually quite a while. So I'd have to familiarize myself with that. But yeah, we'll be definitely playing more stuff from the new record, and like I say, the last one, and also the songs that the remaining songs in the set, we're gonna start rotating stuff out and pulling in some other stuff. I think we, you know, maybe we would do something from Promised Land, but I don't imagine that we would play anything beyond Promised Land. I mean, possibly, but I doubt it. I don't know many fans that want to hear stuff off of a lot of those other records collectively, where it makes sense to play for the, you know, thinking of the broader audience. What are they going to want to hear? Maybe they want to hear something we haven't played from Rage for Order, or off of The Warning that we haven't played, like No Sanctuary, or, you know, Deliverance, or, you know, something like that. But there's other Mind Crime stuff that we've been working on. There's Empire material that we've been working on. In an effort to really change up the set list and make things feel fresh again on the tour. So, you know, we got a lot of work cut out for us, but again, there's, I know that people have expressed an opinion that they're ready to press that change, and we get that. Again, it's just so hard to find time to do it. It's like, well, we either don't tour and play as much so that we can spend more time doing these other things, and you're kind of damned if you do and damned if you don't. So we're doing our very best, and we hope that people understand that.
I think collectively, all the Queensrÿche fans are 100% behind you, and they're just happy to have Queensrÿche, as we know and love them, back together again as a relevant band.
Awesome,
again.
Man.
All right, so we have a couple minutes left here in our time slot. A couple more quick questions. Are you still there?
Yep.
Okay. So you've mentioned in the past a couple of your favorite personal Queensrÿche songs are Roads to Madness and NM156. NM156 in particular is also one of my extreme favorite Queensrÿche songs. Have you had anything in your creative writing bank along those lines of doing a song like that with the band?
You know, it's something that we don't force. It's just whatever, you know, the guys, I mean, I write music also, but from the music standpoint, most of those guys are the ones that start off with the initial riff or this or that. So if they create something that has that kind of a vibe, I mean, it's something that we're always open to. You know, I mean, if we write something that's along those lines, you know, that song was very ahead of its time, I think, and so, you know, if we end up writing something that has that kind of a sequenced feel, kind of like a screaming in digital, it's the same kind of an animal.
Also,
I don't know if that answered your question.
Close enough. Also, in the past, Queensrÿche has typically recorded some cover songs to release on B-sides. Have you done any covers with the band that you guys might consider releasing on a B-side single?
No. I mean, we did Wrath Child live when I first got in the band for a little bit. But if we're going to occupy space on a record, unless it was just for some super fun thing for us to do, I think that it's better real estate occupied by something new and creative, not rehashing somebody else's stuff. It doesn't mean it's impossible, but I would have to think that the fans would probably rather hear an original Queensrÿche song than us covering somebody else's
absolutely. And then one final question for you. Touring with Queen right now has enabled you to share the stage with several bands that you grew up listening to and idolizing as a fan. You're a seasoned professional musician, but have you ever found yourself having sort of an absolute giddy fanboy moment with any of these bands that you've played with?
Either we've shared the stage with them or, gosh, you know, there's a lot of, I don't really get that, wow, oh my God, that fan feeling like I want to. I mean, but there are bands and people that I've met that I grew up loving, and next thing you know, we become friends, or I'm talking on the phone with them, and that sometimes has those surreal moments, you know. I mean, I was a huge fan of Jeff Scott Soto when I learned of him back when he was with Inge. You know, we're good friends. We talk on the phone. Same with Michael Sweet from Stryper. Mike Portnoy and I have become friends. And, you know, there are those relationships that you build with people, and you just click and connect. And others you just meet in passing, and you get to meet them and go, wow, that was really cool. I got to, you know, we're kind of on the same level now. But there's a lot of bands that I've been, the Scorpions. I saw the Scorpions when I was 14 years old on the Monsters of Rock tour in 1988. You know, and then, you know, rewind to, 2 weeks ago, and we're having dinner. You know, I'm sitting next to Matthias, and we're talking for an hour and a half, and Klaus is sitting two or three seats over, and we're talking. So that was a surreal moment. Like, wow, I've watched these guys my whole life, and now every time they see me, they shake my hand and say hi, Todd, and we've got to know each other, you know, as well as you can with touring and whatnot. So yeah, there are those moments where it's really awesome, and when you're kind of, it's interesting when you're kind of in that same circle. It's a small, tight knit community, as you know. So it's like, oh wow, I used to love Dawkins. Now I'm, you know, talking with Don Dawkins and Mick Brown, and, you know, George Lynch knows who I am. I mean, I remember standing in line and he signed my old PC Rich guitar, you know, and then we're doing shows with Lynch Mob, and, you know, they're like, hey man, hey Don, hey George, and, you know, you go about your business. And so it's just, it's been a fun experience, and I'm very honored and thankful for these opportunities that are money can't buy. This is an experience that money can't buy, and even if you're good, you still have to get the acceptance among your peers and the fan base. And I believe that I've been able to achieve that to a fair degree, and I'm forever grateful and thankful for these experiences.
Well, I'll wrap this up. So, Todd LaTorre,
I'm like 10 minutes late for the other one. But
that's
good to chat with you. I hope you're doing well, and I will see you soon, I'm sure.
All right. Cheers, Todd. Thank you.